So we welcome you to this class, Empowering the Fivefold Ministry in a Local Church. And we are so glad to have you guys today. And we are going to enjoy the presence of God while we are having this wonderful class about the Fivefold Ministry. So we are going to, and this also, this class is going to be, you know, recorded. So this will be broadcasted later on. And through this class, we are going to learn the importance of the fivefold ministry in the local church. Why local church needed this fivefold ministry. And the importance of the fivefold ministry, and also, and how do we empower the ministers who are in the fivefold ministry. So those are the aspects we are going to discover today. As my wife is, giving those notes, and you can go through it later on, and or else you can just follow us. You know, the fivefold ministry plays a crucial role in the growth and effectiveness of the church. If we aspire to witness the church reaching its full potential, we must ensure that the fivefold ministry are present in the body of Christ. So these are the gifts. The fivefold ministry, ministries within the ministry. So there are gifts in the gift. So the Lord gave this fivefold gift to the congregation, to the body of Christ, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, and teachers. We know it from the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And so the Amplified Bible, I like this Amplified Bible, how it says, and his gifts to the church were varied, and he himself appointed some as apostles, special messengers, representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. So the duties of this fivefold ministry, apostles have their duty, and then the prophets have their own, they have their duties, and then, you know, evangelists have their duties, and then the teachers and pastors, they carry their role in the fivefold ministry. Why actually fivefold ministry is needed in the local church? It is very crucial, because without this fivefold ministry, the church cannot thrive, and the church cannot move forward, and the church cannot go further. So therefore, the fivefold ministry is very essential, and it is very crucial in the local church.
Yep. I'm Grace, married to Samuel. I wasn't actually supposed to be a part of this workshop. It was originally his workshop, because I wasn't sure I wouldn't be coming here this time. But everything just worked out. I'm glad that I'm here. So I'm just tagging along with him.
Awesome. It is so good. You know, it's good to have my wife this time. And it is so good to have her. And she's a wonderful teacher of the word. And I'm so glad. And she's part of my life.
Yes. Let me tell you my understanding of fivefold ministry when I got married. And also let me give you a little bit of background of my family. I'm actually a pastor's daughter. Both my parents have been pastors for over 65 years. So though I have read a lot about the fivefold ministry and heard about it as a pastor's kid and even in the church, I really didn't have much understanding about what different gifts within fivefold ministry were. And it was actually after I got married to Sammy, I think, the first time I spoke, I don't remember if it was at a village meeting or something, Sammy came up to me and said, okay, your gifting is teaching. And then I thought, all right, okay, he says my gifting is teaching. But then this is something I'm specially talking from the point of local church in India, something that's not been emphasized, or sometimes just the gifting, one particular gifting is just over emphasized. So we are going to try to quickly go through this. I'm sure all of you have knowledge of the fivefold ministry, what it is here, And today we are really here to talk about empowering the fivefold ministry. But we're going to go through this quickly. And as we have been hearing a lot about equipping the saints for the works of the service of, for the works of the ministry, we heard it from Pastor Dom and many others, and really conferences like this or workshops or the learning tools that we use in ministry are really, our whole goal is to equip the saints for the works of the service, to do the works of the ministry. So one of the things that we need to work, equip the saints in is in prayer. In prayer. Now, in India, our understanding of prayer is just asking something so we could get something from God. That's the culture we come from. Hinduism is all about showing devotion to a god or a goddess so that they could attain some sort of blessing. That's the ultimate goal of their devotion or prayer or whatever rituals they do. But prayer in the sense of what the true prayer is, as we see in the life of Jesus and also according to the Bible, it is, we need the fivefold ministry to equip the saints in prayer.
You know, this, the next thing, the fivefold ministry, why the fivefold ministry? We need to equip the saints in the word. Because in many times, people come to the church, and then they attend the service, and they hear the preaching, and then they go off. But if they're not really strong in the word, and something happens in the life, and that's fall apart. And that it, because they're not rooted in the word of God. So the five, one of the things that the fivefold ministers need to equip the saints with the word, and also train, and also motivate them to reach out with the gospel. So they heard the message and they heard the gospel and they received Jesus as their savior. But it is the same time the church fivefold ministers' responsibility to teach and equip them to be able to share the gospel to others as well. And another thing, why fivefold ministry? Making disciples. So not just believers. Mm-hmm. It's a tend to, a church love to, pastors love to have believers as many as possible in number. We like numbers. Yeah. But when you're making a disciple, sometimes disciples will be sent out to start another church. What if your congregation has only 20 people in your congregation, and there are other people have so strong feeling about, you know, they caught the fire, and you know the gifts that they have in them, and when they go out, and the church will be empty. So there is a fear, and sometimes there is a fear in pastors' heart, but we have to overcome that fear and release them to be able to go out, make as many as possible disciples, and let them go out and share the gospel and do the business of our God's kingdom. And also, why need to equip? Because they need to equip them in unity. Diversity, unity in diversity. The church has colors, and church has creed, and church has, you know, people groups, but we make them to understand, to grow in unity. When there is unity among the believers, no one can scatter them, because they have the unity of God. When the unity of God rules in the church, and the church will be strong to be able to sustain even in the times of trouble, even in the times of persecution. Yes. So that is the why the fivefold ministry. And the second thing, edify the body of Christ. Edify the body of Christ. The term edify means uplift and build up someone, or assist them to growing and help them improve. So that's how, you know, the fivefold ministry is to edify or edify someone. and help them. And this is what the Dow family is doing. You know, we are not supposed to be here. And, you know, we are coming from, 1040 window. And who in the world would think that we would be taking one workshop in the Dove International Conference? I never dreamt and never thought of it. Edification. What the Dove family is doing is edifying others, helping others, helping others in their gifts, helping others in their motivation, helping others in their talents, helping others in their gifting. So that is all about edification. You know, you will find someone who is burning, who is having great heart for God, and you see that person, and immediately your thought should be, I need to help this guy to come out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Build him up. Build him up in faith, and build him up in love, and build him up, you know, until we all reach oneness in the faith.
Yeah, maturity.
That's maturity, right there. Why fivefold ministry? To present body of Christ, or the bride of bridegroom. Present the bride of the bridegroom. So the church, to be able to be in that glorious level where our bridegroom, our Lord Jesus, when he sees the church, man, this is the love of my life. Oh, when I see Dove International Family, this is my love of my life. Like that's the kind of feeling our Lord Jesus have impression about the Dove family around the world. Amen? All right. And B, fivefold ministries. And we all know this, you know, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. I love evangelism. Also, I love to pastor. And also, I love to teach and receive the word and speak and encourage somebody. And you know, these are all the gifts. These are all wonderful gifts the Lord blessed us with. And apostles. And they are the initiators. They initiate good things. They initiate a bigger. They initiate bigger things in a small. Even they don't see anything. So that is how we know. 44 years ago, Dove International Family started. When my wife born.
Yes.
44 years ago, Laverne. You know what?
I'm as old as Dove.
So 44 years, man. When Dove born and Gracie born, and now here I am. Oh goodness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So evangelism is something that, you know, evangelists would look for opportunity to share the gospel. He looked for the window. If he sees somebody who is sick, he will use that opportunity. If someone is sitting down and gloomy and falling apart, and he would go there. Why you are like that? You know, there is a good news that can bless you. The good news can heal you or do these things and wonders and miracles. Evangelists love to go. They would love to fly around the world. So that's the duty. And then the teachers, they love to explore things. They love to elaborate things, and they love to do all that, you know, things. And the pastors, they're caring. You know, they're so caring. Oh, how are you? You know, the pastor is the last one to leave the church.
Always.
Always. At least with Pastor Dom, I see, you know, when we go to Perry Hall Family Worship Center, man, I tell you, Pastor Dom and Lisa, they would be the last people to leave the church because they have such a heart for people. Pastors tend to have that compassion and they have a heart to provide, and they have a heart to guide people to the right direction. And pastors, they provide and they feed them. They always feed, making sure our believers are growing strong and making sure they're widened, making sure they're growing tall. So that's the pastor's heart. So these are the things, the fivefold ministry. So now the last part and the C that you will see, empowering the fivefold ministers. So the church has fivefold ministry. And we have church has pastors, church has apostles, and church has prophets, and church has what? Pastors and then teachers too. So this question arises, how do we empower fivefold ministers? So here comes my wife.
The first thing we want to talk about is by fasting and praying. We cannot emphasize enough on fasting and praying. Whether it's preparing for ministry or getting ready for a new season or taking a decision and empowering the fivefold ministers or just empowering ourselves. We see that in the life of Jesus in Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. All night in prayer to God. And then we also see that Jesus fasted for 40 days and nights before he actually launched into ministry, full-time ministry. So Jesus prepared himself with fasting and praying, and then he was ready with the power to do the work of ministry. And also in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, we read that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now at a workshop like this, if we did it in India, the first question, maybe if we gave room for questions, the first question that would come up is, so how long should we fast and pray for? And I think it's really being led by the Holy Spirit. And it's not just at the beginning of our ministries, but even when we are in the peak of our ministry or maybe in the busiest season of our ministry, it is so important for us to take time just to fast and pray.
Yeah, tell us how, you know, the beginning of the year, how our leaders and the congregation would pray.
Beginning of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so every...
Share that little story.
So every year we just take time to fast and pray. There's no story to that. And we have come...
That's a story.
We are really committed to do that almost every year. Now, I know a lot of churches here in the U.S. do that too. A lot of pastors encourage. But this is tricky for us because in January, there's like a harvest festival, which is actually a Hindu festival.
Yeah.
There's a bit of idol worship involved. And the schools get a break for like 10 to 15 days. So that's when a lot of, you know, even leaders would want to go out and do something with their kids, go on vacation, visit families, and especially the non-Christian families that would cook a lot of meat. So it's basically like Indian Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Kind of.
Just food and fellowship and fun. So it was a very difficult, month for us to fast and pray. But when God tells you something, yeah, you just got to do it. Yeah. So, yeah, empowering by fasting and praying.
Yeah, so, you know, sometimes in our, maybe you will ask me this question, how you guys do with your leaders? And what I do with our leaders is like, you know, we bring them in and we call them to the main base and we choose like, you know, 5 days and we consecrate those 5 days just to seek the Lord in fasting and praying. And just water, 5 days, and nothing else. But you know what? The end of the day, everyone has a story to tell. Because they energize themselves by the power of God and by the Holy Spirit. Because fasting is something that you sacrifice from your life and to be able to receive that power from above. So it's fasting is simply humbling ourselves and receiving power of God from heaven. So fasting and praying, the fivefold ministers need to be equipped by fasting and prayer. And the second thing that I would like to share, and the third one my wife would, she will share, by being with him in his presence. Fivefold ministers, I know fivefold ministers are so busy. You know, the apostles, we are busy. Prophets, we are busy. Because we want to deliver the message what God has given to us. In sometimes prophets, they will, middle of the service, they get a rhema word and they want to speak, but we don't interrupt. But then, you know, there is a way of balancing and there is a way of controlling ourselves in releasing the word and for a right time. So by being with him, the Lord called all the apostles, the 12 apostles, when they came and he called them, they might be with him. Because apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, all these leaders need to be with Jesus in the even in the midst of all our busy schedules. So that is how that by being with Jesus, there is always bright side. If you are with your master, Master always releases something and he will always install, he will always download things in us. You know, this morning in the service, and I saw a little vision. In this vision, I saw there is a tornado wind. It's coming from above and touching the peak point. When it touches, everything, you know, shatters and everything scatters, everything lifts up. But this thing is something like, I see when this tornado touching the person, I see people underneath. They were not flying away, but they're receiving power and they're enlarging themselves. So I believe this fivefold ministry, as we spend time together in the presence of God, he would release his power into us, like once a year we gather in such a wonderful manner. All the Dow family, when they get together, what happens is we just receive the power from above. And we receive and we take that power to touch other lives. So being with Jesus, no matter how busy we are, no matter how busy schedule we have, take some time to be with him. That way we can achieve, and that way we can receive the power. You know, that is what Jesus said. Don't leave that place, because you need ability, because you need power. You need that spirit. Until you receive that power, don't leave. Until you receive that. I see, we have seen many times in our ministry, the Lord said, take a break and spend time with me. And do nothing. Just be with him. Maybe it could be 5 days, it could be 3 days, it could be 4 days, or so. It doesn't matter how many days you spend, but you spend that time with the Lord Jesus. And a particular incident I want to share, this is the time that I was looking for. I know there are gifts in me. I know there were, I know the call. I know it was so specific when the Lord called me, but there was a time I was asking God, what should I do? And that's when he said, consecrate yourself aside, and I want you to spend time with me. So I took some few days, and I told my wife, you know what, honey? And I'm going to fast and pray, and I want to be with Jesus. Please do not disturb. Of course, I said, please do not disturb. So I was by myself with the Lord, not eating food, not eating any solid food, not drinking any liquid form, no water, nothing, because I want to hear something from God. So when I was spending my time with the Lord Jesus, he was not speaking to me. And I was reading, I was praying, but I was not hearing anything from him. God, I want you to speak to me. But he was so silent. One day was over. And second day, it was like, what should I do, Lord? And I want you to speak to me. Because you spoke in an audible voice when I was a boy. And why don't you speak to me again? So it was like all questions I was throwing. And I was seeking and asking God. And God, speak to me. And the second day was over. Third day was over. He was not speaking. And the fourth day was over. And I was not drinking water or anything. So my lips were like drying up. And the fourth day was over. And the fifth day came. And I started hearing the Lord speaking. The Lord said, son, I want you to stay here. Don't move from this place. And I want to explode. And I want to increase the ministry. And I want to increase the ministry. And I want to release you into the full potential of your ministry. And I said, Lord, that's what I want to hear. And then on the fifth day I broke fast. So I did. You know, guess what? Now we see 27 churches being planted. Wow. By being with Jesus. 27 is a simple number. But we will plant hundreds of churches. The more you get busy, we need to take some time to be with the Lord Jesus. And the third one. My wife will take care.
Before I go to the third one, I would just like to make a note that having a designated time to meet with the Lord every day is really powerful. You know, in our culture, that's something that has not been encouraged, or it's like, you know, you pray and you read your scripture anytime. 5 verses, 1 chapter, whatever you can, and it's like a religious thing, but I really experienced that if we have a designated time to meet with the Lord every day, that could be really helpful. And another thing I want to add is also praying in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I believe that when it says it edifies us, it also empowers the gift within us. Or for that matter, any fivefold minister. When we are praying in the Spirit and when we are in His presence and we are praying in the Spirit, we are really empowering our gift within us. And the next thing, training, a very underrated thing, especially in a culture or third world nations like India, because a lot of times it's just difficult to get good training. But if we want our fivefold ministers to be empowered and the ministries to function their best, I think when I say training, I'm not just talking about going to a training before you become an evangelist or a pastor, but just to build on the training that you received, to consistently be learning from others and consistently giving ourselves to learning more and equipping ourselves. And I think the best model of training we see is Jesus training his disciples. So here I want to mention walking alongside those who are already walking well in their giftings and just learning from them. So Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching, and he had his disciples with him. Whatever he was doing, he trained them to be effective in every situation of their lives, even when he was no longer with them. I think that should be the ultimate goal of whoever is giving training, is not to have somebody under your training the whole time, but equip them so that they would be able to be well-trained even when you're not around them. So even resources like books, conferences, seminars are very good for training purpose. And for people who are very busy, I'm going to talk about something I know from my personal experience. So investing time in maybe doing Dove Global Access or something like that could be a good thing. I joined Dove School and then I couldn't do it for a while. I don't know, for 9 months or 1 year or something. Then I thought maybe I wouldn't be able to do that because we are busy and I have 8 girls to raise, and then, you know, I'm also a pastor's wife, and we also give apostolic oversight, and then we're also traveling. But then one day I made up my mind, and there are a few ladies here that pray with me once a month, and I sent out a prayer request, and I said, I really want to finish this. I want to complete this. I want to do this training because I know this is going to help me. So God just helped me finish that. So I think no matter how busy we are, how many excuses we have to give, you know, not to do something, we can always make time for something when we especially know that it's going to empower us and it's going to help us and it's going to help us edify the body of Christ.
Amen. By the way, how many of you have done our Global Access School?
Anybody has done? Awesome.
Our Dove School.
Yeah,
the Global
Dove Global Access
School. Many of them, right?
Yeah.
If you have not done, I encourage you to go through that. Register. Jen is here, Brian. You know, just talk to them and meet them and make sure you join in that school and finish your school. God bless you. All right. And also, you know, the fourth one, by fellowship with other fivefold ministers. Hang around with the ministers who are carrying the anointing of God. Mm-hmm. Hang around the ministers who are moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hang around with the people who are really fire for God. And if you are hanging around with the people who are just like, you know, gloomy and no power, nothing, and you will become no power. But the more we hang around with people like fire for God, and I tell you, the transformation of anointing and impartation of the giftings and the empowerment and the anointing would flow through them. So therefore, I suggest sometimes one day the Lord, sometimes we get some stupid like thinking ideas, but it seems they're stupid, but they're not. One day the Lord he was speaking to me. Go to that man of God, ask for one of his shirts. So he was a powerful man of, I don't want to mention his name, but then if I mention, you will know it. So is it Lord? It was in a meeting. So is it Lord, should I go to him and ask for one of his shirts? How embarrassing. What if he say, oh no, Sammy, no, or else, not maybe later. But you know what? What I did was I just walk up to him and I said, Pastor, I want one of your shirts. He said, come over, come to my room, and I'm going to give you one of my shirts. It doesn't matter how, it looks like if I wear that shirt, probably I would be like, you know,
It's oversized. That shirt is oversized.
But it doesn't matter. Sometimes it might, to our eyes and to our understanding, it's look as stupidity. But then you know what? There is something. You can hang around. You can receive the transformation and you can receive the impartation of the Holy Spirit and the gifts. I tell you, man, that touched my life. There are little things. But you know what? Yeah, you can go to Laverne and ask for something. Don't ask money. Don't ask money. And you can walk up to Ron and ask, hey, you ask something, but don't ask money. Well, if you are specific and go for it. But then you know what? Hang around with those people and the gifted people. Don't never put yourself in a situation, oh, I'm not good enough to go with him. I'm not good enough to be around them. And I'm not worthy enough to be with them. Don't say that. But Jesus, he brought all the illiterates to be able to be with him. So, and this is one thing. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens and influences another through discussion. The more you spend time with those people, and you become like one of them. So the more you hang around with the Dove family people, you know what? We have a bunch of wonderful anointed men and women of God in our family. We can, within our family, we have these fivefold ministers. Within our family and within our in our family, there are the ones that are using by God powerfully and mightily and changing, bringing transformation and bringing good news to the people who are unheard about Jesus Christ. So fivefold ministry, really, you can ministers can be empowered by fellowship with other fellow brothers and sisters. Never hesitate to be around them. Never hesitate to learn. Sometimes if I don't understand, go and ask them and take their help. And not only you will receive the input, at the same time, you also feel the anointing of God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, and sometimes even a very humble person will have a very profound or a powerful lesson to give to us, even though it may not seem like they could offer us anything. And I've personally noticed that you can actually learn a lot by watching somebody closely rather from just hearing them teach or preach. Yeah. And it can happen only through fellowships and friendships. Yeah.
Amen.
So, yeah, there are a few more things I want to talk about, just a few notes.
Wow.
As I said, initially, this was supposed to be Sammy's workshop. Uh-huh. But anyway, I got thrown in here. but I think it's very important for pastors and leaders just to guard our hearts so we don't feel the pressure to push people into giftings we think that they have. Just so that we could say that we have fivefold ministry in our setting.
Wow, that's a really good one.
And especially in cultures like culture from where I come from, it's difficult to find people operating in, you know, those giftings. I don't know how it is here, but mostly in India, it could be a big church or a small church. It doesn't matter. Like, let's say in our church. A lot of times, in a lot of Indian churches, it's just the pastor who has all the giftings. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Sammy is an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Maybe I'm a teacher and a pastor.
You're an encourager.
And probably we have just one more person in our church we could, call a teacher. And a lot of times we see in our village churches and urban settings, not many of them are educated. They cannot even read the Bible, and they have no access to resources or training. So a lot of times it's just the pastor who ends up, being everything. So I think it's much more important in a scenario like that to rely on God and to be empowered for what God has called them to do. And I think insourcing is also very important, whether we have all the fivefold ministers in our setting, in our churches, whether we have them or not, because other ministers will always have something to offer to us. And, we understand that, we need each other, and no matter how big we are or how powerful we are, it's always good to use other people, other resource persons, to minister to us as well, to empower us in those giftings too. And aim for order and excellence in operating the gifts. And I think this is very, very important. If you're able to stay away from chaos and disturbances and whatever disorderly things that comes between different giftings, I think we'll be pretty much successful and powerful in what we are doing. So order and excellence could mean different things in different settings or different cultures, or but whatever it is that you feel like is order and excellence that God has given for your setting, I think we should aim to attain that excellence and order. So I'm going to give you another experience of mine as a kid. As I said earlier, some of you were not here, so I'm going to repeat myself again. I'm a pastor's kid, grew up in a church, my parents were charismatic. Is that what they
said? Yeah, of course. Pentecostal.
Pentecostal. So we used to have one lady in our church come up front. There would be time for testimonies in most Indian charismatic churches. We'll have worship, and then we read some portion of some, and then there'll be testimonies. People will actually, it'll be open. They will come up and give testimonies of healing or salvation or deliverance, or if they have a prophetic word or some dream or vision, they will share it. So this lady, she used to come up every Sunday morning up front. And my father did pastor a big church. It was not like a small church. We had like 200 or 300 people, I think, when I was a little girl. So it was not a very small church. So she would come up every Sunday morning and say, I just had a vision. I saw Jesus wearing a white dress and walking all over this place. And I heard this vision for as long as I remember. Every Sunday, it's the same vision. And so when I got married, even though I knew the scripture that you should desire spiritual gifts and, desire to prophecy, I didn't want to do anything with that. Because, and there were some other people, who would just go to a young man and said, I just feel like, God has given me a word that you should marry my daughter. So order is very important. Order is very important. As much as we want gifts to be operating, they should be operating in order to function and full potential and to do whatever God has intended, for the giftings to achieve.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. So just put our hands together to a wonderful teacher.
Thank you.
All right, guys. And if you have any simple questions, ask me. And if you have any hard and complicated questions, We have Ron, and we have Laverne, and then we have Rick, and we have Bobby, and we have Daryl, and we have Dom. Oh man, we got a wonderful crew here. Throw all the hard questions. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so Ron, no. Do you have any just practical advice on identifying the gifts? Like, do you just do it organically? You just happen to notice that someone might be operating in it? And then once you do identify people's gifts, do you have something that you do to recognize that so that the church knows so, these are your prophecies?
It is a very good question. How to find, gifting,
identify
the people who have gifts. So, here is one thing in our church, and we recognized that they have that gift. So this fellow is completely illiterate, and he doesn't know how to read, and he doesn't know how to study, and he has no clue, and he's not a Bible reader as well. And we found out this person has a gift of evangelism. And he led more people
to the church.
To the church, and the person who is very educated.
Wow.
So that person has a gift of evangelism. So I believe by the fruit, and you will identify those people, and also teacher, one of the church members, he has a gift of teaching. And so you identify those people and you see those gifts in them, and then you motivate them and you encourage them and make sure and they carry the same passion and the same vision and the same, having the good character and the lifestyle. And don't bring them somebody who is not really up to that level, like Pastor Dom, he was sharing, about the in his Dom talk. Dove talk.
Well, we do take time just to, even after we identify the gifting, personally, Sammy and I, we just learned that it's good to take some time and just to, you know, see how their relationship with the Lord is and, you know, how good their integrity is, you know, before just letting them operate and whatever. Yeah.
Yes.
I have a question. Your girls, do you see any of the gifts in your girls?
They're good at serving. They love to serve. They love to serve at the church. And they love to serve people. So we encourage them in that areas, in the serving area. Yeah, and there is one girl that we, you know, she has a passion for the ministry. So we want to send her to Bible school.
She's just 15 now.
Yeah.
So we're not sure about her gifting yet, but she has that heart for the Lord. Yeah.
Cool. Yes, please.
For a church that is used to functioning in a way of just, you know, someone jumping in where there's a need, how would you recommend kind of shifting the thought pattern to, you know, really operating in your gifting, not just simply trying to fill holes where there's needed?
I think that's a very good question. I think I'll take the help from Ron.
Tell us how it works in India first.
If it's me, I would have them focused on their gifting more and maybe a little more involved with their gifting so that they're not distracted and, you know, wanting to put a hand here and a finger there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a better way to do it, and focusing on one thing, not having hands on everything.
You know, some are really like gifted in different areas too.
Yeah. Are we making any sense?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yes, please.
Do you, in any of your churches that you oversee or your own church, would you be open to somebody having the office of pastor who's not yourself, or someone who's recognized? I guess. Oftentimes that's what happens. Usually people operate in gifts, but the only one who operates in the pastoral gift is the pastor of the church. Do you try to raise up others to help you pastor?
Yes.
Yeah, I think yes. I mean, if we see somebody who has a gift of pastoring, and would you give him an opportunity be able to pastor? Is that that's the kind of question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Why I repeat, because it is, yeah. So, yes. And if we see someone has that same gift, like a pastoring, as a caring heart and have a burden for people and have a burden for people, and definitely we would choose that kind of person to be able to help us in the pastoral ministry as well. Yes.
Isn't that what our small group leaders are?
And there can be small group leaders. And also, so this is how we did. And when we saw someone has had that pastoral gift, and we plant churches in the villages, so send them to pastor that congregation. So they take over that congregation and pastoring that church in the villages. Yes.
I ask it another way. Do you have anybody in any of your churches with a title except pastor who leads the church? So is there a prophet who would lead one of your churches, or would have a different fivefold gift besides pastor?
Okay.
I think I know what he's kind of driving at, because I have more of a teaching gift, and if I were to take any kind of fivefold test, the pastoral gift would actually be pretty low on the scale, but I'm a lead elder. Mm-hmm. So I surround myself with others who have the pastoral gift to just kind of like make sure that we're taking care of it. But of course, I love people. You really can't be a lead elder without loving people. But as far as the spiritual gifting goes, it's not one of my highest.
You know, pastors and teachers, they both go hand in hand. Pastor and teacher have the same heart kind of thing. You know, they look for deeper things. And so I believe pastors can be teachers and teachers can be pastors. And sometimes pastor can be apostle, prophet,
right,
teacher, evangelist, and pastor.
Yeah.
And
a lot of times it's just two titles that are used in India mostly. It's either pastor or man of God.
Yeah.
whatever your gifting is.
Yeah. So for instance, I have like, you know, gift of prophecy or a prophet, you know, whatever. I don't like to be called as a prophet so-and-so. Just simple pastor, you know, yeah. So titles that they also create a lot of, you know, hype and whatnot. Yeah. At least me, I'm not.
Big on titles.
Yeah, big on titles. Yeah, Ron, yes, please. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
But there is a distinction between the office of prophet.
Yes.
And we all should be prophesying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Different giftings, but the ones with authority are those five that.
Yeah. I mean, for time being, sometimes the Lord would give word of knowledge and wisdom. It's a gifting, but at the same time, they have an office, and they move in that office. Yeah.
Just for what it's worth, I shy away from the term office, simply because there's connotations that go along with that. I gravitate more toward a role of responsibility, to empower, to train, to equip, and to release.
Responsibility.
Response.
Many years ago, a guy, Charles Simpson.
I think, come closer to the microphone.
I think it was Charles Simpson that said, if you want an office, go downtown and rent one.
But this is a call that we're talking about, someone who's called to that role of training, equipping, releasing. If it's a prophetic call, I'm called to train and equip, empower, and release and carry the word of God. And, of course, the other four, as you described them. So sometimes when we say office, there comes along a heady thing that goes along with that. That's one of the reasons I kind of shy away from that.
Thank you, Ron.
Using that term, but so.
Yeah.
All right, so any more questions, or we could just end here?
Yeah.
Anybody else? Go ahead.
Yes, please.
Can you speak into maybe like a small, like a village church, how this functions? When you're smaller in numbers, how we can incorporate this into a smaller gathering, I guess.
So your question is how we would incorporate this into a
smaller
group, or maybe something like a village, village church. With the village church, the only issue is not about the number. Most of them are not educated. They cannot read the Bible, and a lot of times, even if you do teach them, it's very difficult for them to comprehend it. And it'll be just confusing them. So, yeah, we don't, like, give out a lot, but if you recognize a person and identify a person who can, maybe we'll take time one-on-one to talk to them about that.
Yes.
So I think in your context,
my
perspective, in your context, or even in your context, is you're looking for the gift to function. You're looking for that person to function. And if you don't have, especially a prophetic voice and even an apostolic voice, I would bring that in from the outside, because everyone wants to hear a word from the Lord. And I love what Steve said, if you're not getting a word, prophesy over yourself. That's very true. But there is something powerful about bringing a prophet in that stirs things up, that blows out the heavens, so to speak, clears out cobwebs, and really trains and equips people just to really hear from the Lord. So if they're not in your group of 5, 10, 15, or 20 people, bring that in from the outside.
Yes.
For you guys in an environment where they're a little more illiterate, can't read or write, you can still teach them the gift. This is how an evangelist, you would describe what that is, sharing your faith, or prophetic, hearing the voice of God, and be able to speak into other people's lives. So you're describing how the gift functions more so than doing the training
in an intellectual
capacity. You're reaching after the gift and stirring that up to release that to happen, and then identifying it. Very, you have a gift of an evangelist. Whether you never put a quote-unquote title on them or not, you're stirring that up.
Yeah.
And they're then, if they have that gift, of that evangelistic gift, they are then imparting into the other eight people how to share their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing about it. When any of these fivefold gifts, they carry the anointing that make you want to leave the room and go do what they're doing.
Yes.
That's what the fivefold is. It stirs you up in faith. It's not a, oh, gee, you can always tell someone who's not a fivefold evangelist, they'll make you feel guilty for not sharing your faith. Someone who is a fivefold, you're like, I can't wait to get out of the room. So, anyway.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think we're good. We're on time. Yeah. So I would like to, you have any questions before we close?
Yeah, that clock's about 5 minutes fast. So you do have a little bit of time.
Okay.
So if anybody has another question, feel free.
Anybody has question or anybody has a thought?
Comment.
Comment or insight.
On this topic.
Yes.
Is anyone aware of any church where they intentionally have the fivefold in leadership functioning in that body?
Not that kind, too.
Caution! Red light! Red light. If they do not have the gift of government, you will blow the team up. They need the Romans 12 gift of government first and foremost. Your elders may be one of the fivefold. They may carry a gift of one of the fivefold gifts, but the gift that they need is the gift of government. You put a prophet in there that doesn't have the gift of government, he, she will have no time to sit down and talk about, what do we do with this situation? What about the land and the building? They're like, no, we just got to get in the presence of God. So unless they have the gift of government, that was back in pre-80s, early 80s when that was, you got to get your fivefold people, get them on the elder team, and it does not work. They have to have a gift of government.
So you could have an elder team that doesn't have, that has maybe one or two fivefold ministers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Literally
so,
one. Literally
yeah.
One.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have an elder team running the body.
Yep. Go ahead, Bobby.
Loud. We have two.
Yeah.
On our elder team that are in-house designated.
Yep.
Commissioned fivefold ministers, and they serve on our elder team.
Yep.
They served on the elder team first before they were commissioned as fivefold, but they're serving fine. They didn't change faces. I mean, they didn't change personality.
Yeah, because they have the gift of government. So We can say it this way. Some elders will have a fivefold gift, but not every fivefold gift person needs to be an elder.
Thank you.
Amen.
Great question.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's pray and close. Yes, someone has something? Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, do you have any thoughts on balancing, not wanting to lay hands on someone too quickly, but also wanting to draw out and breathe life on those giftings and just finding that balance?
I got to see you.
How's it work in India first? Seriously, how's it work in India first?
Maybe repeat the question.
Everybody wouldn't like just lay their hands on anybody and do that in India.
No one would like to lay their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not everyone.
Like persons who wanted to be prayed for, they don't like everybody to just come and, it has to
lay hands on them.
Yeah,
so what he's asking for, what he's really asking is establishing them and releasing them, correct?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Giving them a place of authority.
Yeah. 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 Go ahead, Bobby.
You don't recognize for potential.
Right.
By fault.
Yeah.
You recognize because they have fruit,
right,
mentioned here.
Yeah.
So you have to see the fruit before you really recognize,
right,
I mean, who they are in by fault. But you don't do it because they have potential. And that's
absolutely
where you get into error. You're calling them out too soon when they haven't really developed the fruit of it.
So if they're asking for it, that's the first warning sign. Not a warning sign. It's just because you should desire good things. So it's not a warning sign. It's just they're saying their aspiration. This is what I really feel called to. Great. Here's a process. Give them a track to run on.
Uh-huh.
But then you are making the final decision before you release them in that. Because there's a whole growth process you need to go through. There's the insecurity you need to go through. There's a mistake level you need to go through. There's all kinds of things. So,
yeah, go ahead.
So, you can have a fivefold ministry in a body, and you can have a fivefold ministry in the network.
Yep. And then you can.
So I could have someone that is recognized fivefold in my body that's not recognized in Duff.
Absolutely. We'd encourage that has to happen first.
Right.
Before they get a,
yeah,
yeah. And then there's a third level in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Cool. Pray for us.
All right. Father, we thank you. We come before you this afternoon, O Lord. We thank you so much at your feet, and we're able to come and learn from you, O God, and the gifts that you have for the congregation and the gifts that you have for the ministers who are here, Lord, gifting and apostles and prophets and teachers, evangelists, and these, Lord, we need your power in every gifting, yes. O God. Yes. All of us need your power, and all of us need your fresh anointing and a fresh touch from you. As we go from here, O Lord, and we pray that we would be able to move in your way that you want us to move. Lord, we don't want to go ahead of you, but we want to go with you, O Lord. As Moses said, let your presence shall follow me. Lord, go with me, go before me. Let your presence, let your fire, let your power go with us, O God, as we go from here to the places where you have placed us and the cities that you have placed us and the nations that you have placed us. And wherever we go, and we want just to be a blessing of empowering others, O Lord. Empowering people who have those gifts. Empowering your body of Christ. Empowering the brothers and sisters around the world in the Dove family. And we commit everyone into your mighty hand. And we glorify your name. And we magnify your name, O God. We magnify you, O Jesus. Lord, we lift up your holy name, O God. And we thank you for your love. And we thank you for your presence, O God. We glorify your name, O Lord, this afternoon. We thank you so much for your presence. And we thank you for the brothers that are sisters that are here, O God, and bless every one of us. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for helping us. Actually, you guys have helped us. And thank you so much. Praise the Lord.